Palestine Report on Sabah al-Muslim with Maulana Ibrahim Musa.
Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Escalating Israeli crimes in Gaza as divisions in Israeli politics grow starker.
Yes, we've got serious developments within the Gaza Strip in terms of Israeli crimes. Obviously, in the south, we've got 800,000 Palestinians, according to information that reports have come through, that have now moved away from Rafah, which is a major exodus of people. Who first moved into Rafah a long time back and now are forced to move again towards the north or towards the center regions of the Gaza Strip. But it's not only Rafah that's involved here. We've also got the fighting flaring up in central Gaza and obviously the north as well, areas such as Jabalia. In the center in Deir al-Balah, we've got about 31 people were killed in a major massacre over the weekend. Hospitals once again being targeted in areas like Jabalia. And the Gaza emergency services are saying that just over the past weekend or so, they've managed to recover the bodies of about 150 Palestinians who've just been killed over the past few days. And I must say that some of the scenes that have been coming out of Jabalia in particular have been very disturbing. There are injured people, there are deceased who are just lying on the streets, and some of them in the process of passing away, but nobody is able to assist them because of the heavy fighting that is occurring in the area. And that statistic that I mentioned earlier of 800,000 people who have now, according to reports, moved away from Rafah to other areas of Gaza Strip should perhaps focus our attention on the fact that there was a big hype about Rafah not too long ago, and this fear that the Israelis are going to invade Rafah, and this is now the final chapter of the genocide, and seemingly that focus has shifted away from Rafah in recent days. And I think this requires us to focus on perhaps wasn't this the strategy of the Americans and the Israelis all along, and particularly the Americans, to say that to communicate to the Israelis, do as you want in Rafah, kill and destroy, but do it in a kind of more elegant way to avoid a popular reaction to the escalation. And the way they did this was to say that we're only focusing on the eastern areas, we're going to the non-crowded areas, whereas in actual fact, if one has to monitor the pattern of the attacks, they are attacking all areas, and this is in essence the genocide continuing, but managing it in such a way that it comes at the least media cost. So that's in terms of what is happening in Gaza. In terms of the Israeli political scene, two major pronouncements from members of the Israeli war cabinet. Benny Gantz, he has now put down an ultimatum to Netanyahu, saying that he threatens to withdraw from this government if Netanyahu does not present a post-war action plan by June the 8th. And then Gantz went on to put forward what he wants from Netanyahu in his plan. He says he wants the hostages to come home. He wants the demilitarization of Gaza, dismantling the rule of Hamas. There should be Israeli security control of the Gaza Strip, together with a U.S., European, Arab, and Palestinian administration that will run civilian affairs in Gaza. This should be an alternative to both Hamas and Abbas or some other kind of Palestinian involvement in the Gaza Strip, and also the return of Israelis who are displaced from their homes, as well as advancing the normalization deal with Saudi Arabia. So that's what Gantz has said, and Gallant on the other side, the Minister of War in the Israeli government, says that he will not agree to Israeli military rule in the Gaza Strip. Again, trying to put forward a kind of vision for post-war Gaza. So the divisions are quite clear, they're quite stark. And within this war cabinet, Netanyahu appears now to be outflanked by both Gantz, Gantz and Gallant. The question, though, is even though he seems to be in the corner, Netanyahu, if these particular politicians withdraw from the cabinet, does it mean that Netanyahu is all alone? It's not necessarily the end of Netanyahu, because it places him more dependent on his far-right allies, who have the numbers to keep Netanyahu in power. And an alternative reading of what is going on here is that the Americans seem to have greater influence on both Gantz and Benny Gantz, as well as Yoav Gallant. And whatever they are saying or parroting at this moment is the American vision for the post-war Gaza. And America is now putting a heavy pressure on these politicians within its circle of influence to try and force the end of this war and force Netanyahu to accept its terms for the end of this war, which are no less, which are, you know, very much unfavorable to the Palestinians, unfavorable to the continuation of Hamas rule. But then the Americans putting pressure to end it now rather than prolong it, as Netanyahu seeks to do.
What's China's view on Hamas?
So a very interesting piece, in AL Monitor, who track the Chinese perspective on Hamas, as well as the Chinese involvement in Palestinian politics. They locate this in terms of the meeting that the Chinese convened in April between Hamas and Fatah in Beijing, trying to, you know, create some unity between these two parties. And this obviously got a lot of attention from the international community. The view basically is China sees Hamas as a legitimate political force in Palestine's future. And this is a force that cannot be excluded, contrary to obviously the stance taken by most in the most countries in the West. Yes, well, I'm still with you.
I just lost you there for a second here.
All right, so they see Hamas as a legitimate political force, basically, in Palestine's future, and it's a force that cannot be excluded. Notably, the Chinese have refused to condemn Hamas or describe it as a terrorist organization, and they locate this within UN General Assembly resolutions that affirm the legitimacy of people's struggle for liberation from foreign domination, including through armed struggle. So that's the view on Hamas. Interestingly, according to this particular analysis piece, they don't have the most favorable view of Fatah. And the view in China officialdom over recent years has seen a decline in in the view of the effectiveness of Fatah. They believe that its governance record is not so great. Its relationship with Israel has compromised the Palestinian cause, and it's fraught with internal tensions within Hamas. And the article goes on to show that China looks at its own revolution, its armed struggle during the time between 1937 and 1945, when it was occupied by the Japanese, and how armed struggle was pivotal in furthering the aims of the Chinese revolution, and therefore this informs their perspective with regard to Hamas. But despite seeing Fatah in a particular way, seeing Hamas in a particular way, they still are facilitating these unity talks between the two parties, because they believe, from their own experience again, that unity is imperative to be able to then tackle the other phases of the struggle that are to come later on. So as a result of that, they've held these talks earlier in April, and there's going to be another round of talks, we believe, between Hamas and Fatah in Beijing again, taking place next month in mid-June.
Right, as always, shukran so much for your time and for the update.
Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was this week's Palestine Report with Maulana Ibrahim Musa.